Its methodology was also highly suspect, with reports of carousel voting, pre-marked ballots, children voting, voting for people who were absent, and even voting in Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Are you stunned to know that they, cheated in Donetsk when they actually took the pulse of the voters the Russian way? I have to say, I'm not. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to America Tonight. When I read things and hear things like what you just heard from the State Department, Jen Psaki talking about what, what happened as far as the vote was concerned, it just makes me cringe. And as much as we can argue about voter ID and everything else, it just proves once again we still live in the greatest country in the face of the earth, and why you should vote. Rock that vote. We can argue about the Electoral College and really how much say you have in the presidential election, but not when it comes to the people who make the laws. So the chaotic referendums in the eastern Ukraine, and why we start there, is just a nudge, a reminder of where we're not living. The NATO Secretary General blasts the referendum as illegal. Of course it was illegal. Of course it was. In the end, what does it mean? Pro-Russian separatists hold a referendum on Sunday. They asked residents of Donetsk whether it should declare independence from the Ukraine. Nearly 90% of the voters in the area favored secession, an election official was quoted as saying. But did that official tell you they were voting in Moscow, St. Petersburg? They had children voting, and they had people who voted four or five different times. Four or five different times. So this alliance with Russia, is it getting weaker? Are there more cities that really want to do that? It's a farce is what it is. It's propaganda. It's cover for killings, for kidnapping, for violence, and ridiculous crimes that are going on. Let me tell you again. Boy, am I glad I live in America. Boy, am I glad. The referendum was chaotic. Dubious, ambiguous. Does it really count? No. What counts is the Ukraine's presidential election on May 25th. Let's hope they get there. Let's hope they get there sooner rather than later. This is just another continuation of what happened in the southern region of the Crimea when they announced the results of the separatist referendum, which showed more than 90% in favor of joining Russia. But when the Pew Research Center did a poll, only 54% of Crimea residents showed support for the secession. This is Putin's play. This is Putin's play. That's what it is. And trust me, there will be others that will see a similar thing happen. There will be others. All right, and just as that leaves my lips, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk to Hadley Heath about the situation with Obamacare and Pew, by the way. They just did that study last week showing that the numbers were down for the support for Obamacare, Pew being nonpartisan. And will there be a Republican push to repeal Obamacare, or is that just lip service? Because this is going to be the hot button issue in the midterm elections. That's what we're going to see. In the meantime, I have to throw this nugget out at the top because we're going to check the mailbag, and plenty of you had a lot to say about the situation with the VA. Some of you actually telling me your own personal stories. The Veterans Administration controversy that has been linked to the deaths of some 40 veterans in Phoenix is probably spilling over to other VA offices nationwide. Congress is looking for more details to emerge as to why they have these long waiting periods for veterans trying to get medical help. Why are they waiting? Because we know there's so many, we understand that. But at what point is it just nonsense? They're looking at offices in Colorado, Wyoming, Texas, Arizona, which already is happening, and some other states as well. Could be that there's more to the scandal than meets the eye. Could be there are other states that are involved. Because in Phoenix, they had a secret, allegedly, secret digital wait list of patients. Once the digital database was created, paper documents indicated when the patients had first come to the VA looking for treatment and when they were shredded. When they were shredded. And believe it or not, somewhere we're going to mix in how much money the IRS is spending in furniture. Oh, it'll make you see fire engine red in front of your eyes when I tell you. If you haven't heard the number, you will be shocked. I mean, I'm really positive this will blow your socks off. And you need to know it. Why? Because you are footing the bill. I am footing the bill for all of this. So what's going on at the VA? What's happening with the hospital backlogs? Are they really on the decline? Or is that just lip service? Is it just lip service? Because this is what happens when you have election cycles. And it's too bad. Because it really should be about the issues, not about, oh, please, I have to be reelected, so I have to stand with the group. I can't not stand with the group. So the two big blunders of the day coming up, from Monday anyway, and they involve, one involves Tim Geithner. The other one involves the three dreaded letters, the IRS. I know very few people who enthusiastically embrace the IRS, and you're really not going to want to do it when I tell you what they spent. I'll tell you one thing. There is also a bipartisan bill that would make lawmakers have to fly coach. That makes sense. Why do they have to blow all the money? Can't they go on Travelocity and find the deals that the rest of us buy? Can't they do that? Can't they make a couple of different legs, a couple of different stops? Well, when we have a national debt in excess of $17 trillion, why do they take my money and your money and buy luxury airline seats for members of Congress? I hope everyone signs that bill. First class air, come on. They can't sit in coach. Give me a break. Hadley Heath next, talking about Obamacare and a possible repeal. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the No-No Hair Removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for No-No Hair Removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my No-No. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-No has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Kate Delaney talking about Obamacare and whether or not the Republicans are going to push this to the limit, go for the jugular, really push the idea of repealing, not just talk to it and give it lip service and go out and stump for votes and try to get people really rallied around them, because they know a lot of people are upset with the kind of coverage they're getting once they've got it and they're dumped from some other plan. So I thought it'd be fun to have on the show, for a really interesting point of view, Hadley Heath, the director of health policy, the Independent Women's Forum. Hadley, thanks for coming by and spending some time with us to talk about this.
Of course. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. So here's the question. The Pew poll comes out, and the numbers are sky high that there's massive opposition to Obamacare. So who are the people that are saying this thing is so bloody good? I don't get it.
You know, there are a lot of people in the United States who still believe that Obamacare is not relevant to their lives, that they maybe haven't been affected yet, or they see premiums continue to increase. Maybe they're in an employer-sponsored plan in a business that isn't facing some of the mandates in Obamacare because the White House has delayed some of those mandates, or at least the enforcement of them. So I imagine that there are some people who may have a relative or a friend who's been able to get a subsidy, or they see that there are some winners. You know, sometimes when we talk about what a terrible law this is, we forget that there are some winners. Unfortunately, they're vastly outnumbered by the number of people who are losers under Obamacare. But if you do have anecdotal evidence that the law is working for somebody, I guess real persistent liberals might still show some soft support for Obamacare.
Yeah. It was just a couple of months ago that the Pew USA Today poll showed that voters really think this is a priority in November, so much so that the national survey then said that 64% of Republicans who are registered voters say a candidate's stance on the health care law will be very important in their voting decision. Very important, compared with 52% of Democrats and 45% of independents. I think the independents are a key demographic here. And then talking about, you know, how many approve and disapprove, which we have now with the new people, do you believe it will have a massive impact on the midterm?
Absolutely. I think that Obamacare continues to be one of the driving issues because, among other issues, it really represents two diametrically opposed approaches to public policy, to government. If we want government involved in areas that the government has no constitutional purview, that the federal government traditionally has not played as big of a role, then this issue really tends to be a bellwether about the American public's view of the role of government in our economy, in our society, in making some of what we consider the most personal decisions in our lives. And when people are asked about the reason why they disapprove of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, of course, one of the top reasons they give is that it's simply too much government involvement in health care. So when we talk about Obamacare, sometimes what we're really talking about is the size and scope and role of government. That's why it's such an important issue, because it really represents which side of the bigger philosophical battle these candidates are on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So the Obamacare alternatives, what are the real alternatives that could work?
Well, you know, in addition to having a different approach to public policy, conservatives have a different approach to how public policy should be made and should be changed. Of course, one of the frustrations that the public has with Obamacare is that it's been very difficult to follow, difficult to understand. Of course, one of the reasons this Pew poll is so important is because many Democrats and supporters of the law said, let's wait until the law is fully implemented in 2014. Then people will come around. Then people will like Obamacare. But disapproval of the law persists. Pew is a very middle-of-the-road polling agency. They're not trying to throw the numbers in favor of or against Obamacare, but they're reporting on the facts. And conservatives, of course, want to change public policy in a way that is clear to the American public, that is not a 3,000-page bill, but perhaps is a stepwise approach to making changes. Of course, the first big change that should take place is complete and total repeal of Obamacare. But moving from there now, of course, not only has the political landscape around health policy changed in a post-Obamacare world, but there are very practical transition measures that Republicans have to take into account in their plans for people who maybe have signed up for Obamacare. What are we going to do with the people who believe that they are enrolled in an Obamacare plan? So those plans hopefully include some type of transition mechanism, but the end goal, Kate, is to get to a place where we have a more robust marketplace in health insurance, because we have almost never had that in the United States. We have a lot of market distortions, a lot of inequalities in our tax code that favor some consumers over others. And, of course, in some states, the sale and purchase of health insurance was already very tightly regulated before Obamacare. So the conservative vision for health reform is one where health insurance is customizable, that there is a diverse array of insurance policies available to people if you want a high deductible or if you want a low deductible, if you want catastrophic coverage or if you want comprehensive coverage, that consumers should be free to make those decisions rather than having the federal government dictate what's in every insurance plan for sale.
Yeah, I agree on the whole idea of competition, too. I mean, obviously, I think the prices would be way more affordable if you just erase the state lines. You know, if you just let people shop, then as an insurance company, you would be forced to look at all these alternatives, but you'd also have more people to feed and you'd have those numbers. Don't you think that would have made a big difference?
Absolutely. And I think, the concept of market competition that you're talking about is so important, not just in health insurance, but also in health care, because Obamacare's deepest flaw, one of its deepest flaws, is that it completely ignores economic incentives, and people respond to economic incentives even in an industry like healthcare, which we consider sometimes to be a basic need, especially if someone needs urgent care. The number of doctors and the networks that are available to people, the reimbursement rates to doctors, these are very important things to follow, as well as the sheer enrollment numbers, because, of course, we want there to be enough care, enough supply of providers, for example, to meet the needs of the American public, rather than Obamacare's approach, which is to give as many people as possible an insurance card. That's not the same thing as accessing quality health care services when you need those. So I think the focus also has to be less on health insurance and more on health care. And I hope that that's the direction that conservatives go with some of their alternative proposals.
Yeah, I agree with you. If that doesn't happen, and it's more of the same old, will Obamacare stick? I mean, will it just stay around and we'll be kicking this football down the field for decades to come?
You know, we can see this in some other government programs. I think Ronald Reagan said something like there's nothing closer to eternal life on earth than a government program. So unfortunately, even bad laws have some staying power when they metastasize or when they gain what we call a status quo advantage. And of course, before Obamacare, the system we had before, I believe the government and the state government already played too big of a role in making healthcare consumers' decisions for them. But it was very hard to change the status quo in 2010 when Obamacare passed. It will be difficult to change the status quo now, and the status quo now, of course, is Obamacare. But that doesn't mean it's impossible, and certainly polls like this one from Pew tell us that the American people would like to see us change direction.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Hadley Heath, Director of Health Policy Independent Women's Forum, thanks so much for the conversation.
Of course, thanks for having me.
And you heard what Hadley had to say there, that what happens, the Reagan quote was brilliant because that's exactly what happens. It's going to keep staying. Are we going to tweak it a little bit? The Pew Research Center poll, in case you don't know it, when I talk about the disapproval, which came out late last week, of the law, it hit a new high of 55%. And this is really right on the heels of several polls that showed the law had very little, if any, kind of a bump after the signups on the healthcare exchanges exceeded the goals. So once it hit the goals, the previous high for disapproval of the law was 54% in Pew polling. That was at the height of the problems back in December, if you remember. So 43% of Americans disapprove of the law strongly. Also a record high. 41% of Americans currently approve of the law. That's higher than the record low of 37%. Oh, man. It'll be fun to watch this. Stay with us.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
I'm a very bad man, and I'm outside your house. I see you've got an alarm. Outstanding. Of course, houses with alarms always have the coolest stuff. Unless you've got a door double reinforcing your door frame. I'll kick your fancy door just like any other door. And I'll be gone before the police even get the call. Don't worry, I'll try not to make a mess.
Door doubles are available at participating Ace Hardware stores and locksmiths. Or visit DoorDouble.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Tonight, looking down the list of what are possible blunders, I think, to kick things off on a Monday, boy, there really is a slew of them, but probably the biggest is furniture, and shopping for furniture, apparently, when it comes to the IRS, they're freewheeling, baby, really willing to spend whatever it takes to make the office look fantastic. Because guess what the bill was for the overhaul? $100 million. Now, granted, $100,000 perhaps each office, but $100 million on office furniture, that's what they spent. That is crazy. Now, I wonder why the IRS needs more money. They don't. It's insufficient funds for the facelift. Please give us more money for 2015. It just annoys you, doesn't it? Doesn't it just chap you to think about that? Do you know that that amount already exceeds what the agency spent during the entire 8 years under George W. Bush from 2002 to 2009? So, currently, it's all kinds of things, millions to hundreds of thousands of dollars for each agency office. So it depends as you kind of nitpick through the various offices, the regions, as to what was spent where and how much was spent in whatever situation. It's just ludicrous. And it's your money and my money. It is our money. Partitions, shelving, wood furniture, new chairs, showcases. Washington, D.C. The office got a $2.6 million new system furniture service facelift. It was completed in 2012. In Iowa, $1.8 million makeover. $1.8 million. Did I say that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So a total of 3,700 plus contracts for some of the things that I mentioned. Some of them deeper makeovers than other places. For example, contracts show that hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent solely on chairs for the office in Haverhill, Massachusetts. $618,000 was spent on task chairs phase two. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Seattle and Austin, $1.1 million in new furniture. It's good to be the contractors, though, isn't it? Very good to be them, because they made some money. Here's an example. Herman Miller was one of the companies that was contracted. They had chairs that cost $1,209. Storage units that cost $1,749. Could they get not cheaper? They couldn't get cheaper chairs? They couldn't do that? Knowles, which was another contractor, their chairs retailed for $659. So another company awarded contracts claimed on its website it partners with the best interior product manufacturers in the industry. Well, guess what? We just paid for the three dreaded letters to have some of the best offices that you could possibly think of government-wise. Am I being hypercritical? Is it mean to pick on the three dreaded letters? I don't think so. $100 million on office furniture? Who's not going to be outraged by that when you look at our deficit, when you think of the way pennies are being squeezed in other directions? I get it if you have to get some new things. I mean, listen, I get they have to get partitions and some chairs and whatnot, but they had to go to the top contractor. They had to overall spend that much money? No way. Does not make sense. Doesn't make sense. All right, here's something else that doesn't make sense to me. Tiny Tim Geithner, one of the faves of President Obama, who I never thought was a good fit for Treasury Secretary. Some could disagree and say, oh, he's a brainiac when it comes to numbers, and did you see what the boy genius was like at Goldman Sachs? But I'm sick of the Goldman connections. Who does it benefit? But he is no longer in that position. That goes to Jack Lew. What happens when you get out of office? You go and speak for a lot of money and you write a book. So the former Treasury Secretary has written a memoir. It's over 540 pages. In his new book, he claims that the White House, on more than one occasion, tried to put words in his mouth or outright asked him to bend the truth. They asked him to lie. The memoir is called Stress Test, Reflections on Financial Crises. He talks about, here we go again with the talk show prep, he talks about a Sunday talk show prep session in 2011 where top White House advisor, one of the top White House advisors, wanted him to say Social Security didn't contribute to the federal deficit. Geithner said he objected to it. He said it wasn't a main driver of the future deficits, but it did contribute. he said that the line was a dog whistle to the left. Dog whistle. And Geithner said it was a phrase he had never heard before. He had to explain the phrase was code to the Democratic base, signaling that we intend to protect Social Security. So what else did he have to lie about? What else was he told to lie about? A couple of things. And this is particularly interesting because this is on the heels of UN Ambassador Susan Rice's controversial appearance on Sunday shows after the 2012 Benghazi attacks, where she said the same thing. Well, she didn't say that. But the talking points, the email came out, and it showed that she was being told what she was supposed to say. What was the line? What was the company line? And then there was this person named Stephanie Cutter, a Democratic operative who was handling communication strategy, who said we would have a pool spray, which is a photo opportunity for the White House press, where Cutler said the president would make a brief statement along with Tim Geithner about executive compensation, responding to a report that the Wall Street firms had paid their executives big bonuses while piling up record losses in 2008. Cutler said, and handed him the text, and said that what he was supposed to say was exactly that, that he was supposed to play down the executive bonuses, that he was supposed to skim the outrage. He was supposed to do that, not be ridiculous. But he said he thought it would look ridiculous on him. Thought it would look ridiculous and told her, I will not do it. I won't do it. They wanted him to really act it up. Really, really act it up. And he said he wouldn't comply. So apparently it is kind of like acting class. Here's your talking points. Here's the expressions you shall make. And this is where the X is where you're supposed to stand. That's embarrassing. So Tim Geithner heaps it on in the middle of the whole Benghazi thing. His memoir comes out at an interesting time, doesn't it? And then this last one, this is terrible. It's more than a blunder. A woman who wrote the fake Holocaust memoir has to pay back $22.5 million to the publisher. How do you do something like that? A Belgian-born Massachusetts woman admitted to fabricating a best-selling book about her experiences during World War II and the Holocaust. So she's going to pay back a whole bunch of loot. The judge ordered what he called the third and hopefully last opinion in the case back in the end of April, confirming a 2012 court ruling, setting aside a previous verdict of millions of dollars that were due to her publisher, due to highly improper representations and activities. This is a 17-year-old story that started when the book Misha, a Memoir of the Holocaust Years, was published in 1997. This woman is now 76. So she rationalized her fraud, apparently, by saying that her parents' arrest and her subsequent harsh treatment at the hands of relatives who took her in and led her to feeling like she was Jewish. But she was exposed in 2008 when researchers in the U.S. and Belgium said they couldn't find any evidence of her family in any Holocaust archives. In the intervening years, the book was translated into 18 languages, made into a French feature film, Surviving the Wolves. Oh, sad, sad, sad. Coming up, it's not sad. You'll be happy. We're going to go check the email next on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
A lot of opinions about everything from the VA and whether or not they're cleaning up that backlog to the revelations about the numbers of criminals that the Immigration Customs Enforcement Group released while they were waiting for the outcome of their deportation cases. A couple of other things, too, as well. So on that note, let's go and check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Kevin, who says, can't believe it, 88 convictions. That is shaky nonsense to me. The majority of cases, I guess, might have involved some of the nonviolent offenses. Still, rapists, kidnappers, murderers, 193? Murder convictions? Something's wrong here. What was the Department of Homeland Security thinking? Since when do we let murderers go free or assault convicted people or those who have kidnapped? I don't get it, Kate. How are they screwing this up so badly? They are screwing it up so badly. It's astonishing to look at those numbers. It's really hard to justify it. It really is. I just don't think you can justify it. What do you say to that? What do you say to the fact that that many were released? So, released on bond, parole, under various alternatives to detention while they were waiting to be processed, seems 10 shades of wrong to me. I mean, even the numbers that I said, 420-some sexual assaults. What if you were sexually assaulted and the guy was just let out like that? Okay, bye-bye, see ya. What? Thank goodness that we saw these numbers, because it's pretty darn lax to me. Thousands of convicted criminals freed, waiting for their deportation proceedings. Let them go. Let them fly like the wind. Hopefully they'll fly straight. Let's cross our fingers. Yeah. Why not? Got some other comments on that. Adam says, dead wrong. Can't do that, Kate. Don't understand it. Why would anyone in their right mind allow this to happen? Well, there's what you're talking about. Anybody in their right mind. Somebody not in their right mind would do that. Well, we're too backed up, so we're going to have to do this. It's not as bad as we thought it was. How do you weigh that? And I hate that. How do you weigh? Well, it wasn't that kind of murder. It was, a hot-tempered murder. Here's one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas. And Jake says, Kate, I am really astonished, but perhaps I shouldn't be astonished, by what I've read about the fact that the IRS is out there taking my money and your money, not only once a year, but they're also taking it to build this furniture supply and make beautiful offices. That's the way it sounds like to me. Sure, that's not the case in every single IRS office, but it's ridiculous that over $100 million was spent. There is such a thing as belt tightening, and so you don't spruce up the office until we're just blowing and going. Yeah, something is very, very wrong about that. Incredibly wrong. Okay, this one from Alicia, Kate Delaney, long time no talk. Hope you are doing well. Don't know if you saw this or not, but John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, for now anyway, is pushing Jeb Bush to jump in to run for president. I know you've talked about it on your show, but a Bush and a Clinton, if that were how it were to go, going up against each other? My, oh, my, as much as things change, other things don't. Yeah, John Boehner said he was just sort of, he said the word was nudging. He was nudging Bush to run for president, and he wants to take up the whole immigration mantle in the meantime in small pieces, starting with border security. Boehner, by the way, was at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce during a question and answer session with the editor of Texas Monthly. And immigration, with these big midterm elections, I think it gets shoved into the background and may stay there for a while, despite how furious many of us are in putting it all together to see what happens. And you have to deal with this. You have to deal with immigration. Otherwise, it's like the ostrich who sticks his head deep into the sand. If you don't deal with it now, imagine how much worse it's going to be. Because I believe it's a lot worse than anybody initially suspected. Don't think that's going to change. All right, this one from Rick. Kate, did you see the defense secretary Chuck Hagel saying transgender military is actually under review. You got to be kidding me. Listen, it's one thing to have gays in the military. It's another thing to have a transgender person in the military. Hagel said in an interview over the weekend that the ban on transgender service members in the military should be revised. That he's open to assessments because he goes back to the bottom line of every qualified American and people who can do it. But he says it's the medical support for transgender troops in crazy locations that the transgender issues in regard to military service are an area that are not defined enough. I can see that, too. In March, the San Francisco State University, think tank released information talking about the transgender in the military and how that would be perceived and how safe somebody would be. They think there is about 15,450 transgender personnel who serve currently in the active guard and reserve components at this point. Really? It just seems so high to me. It seems, the number seems out of proportion. And they say there's no compelling medical reason. The U.S. Surgeon General says there's no compelling medical reason to maintain the ban. That they're open to assessments. And it goes back to that whole idea of Americans who are qualified, who want to serve, that should have an opportunity if they can do it. And it's just not defined enough. Countries like Australia, Canada, and the United Kingdom and Israel allow transgender people to serve in the military, by the way. So a simple ban on gay, lesbian, and bisexual service members, the don't ask, don't tell, was lifted in the U.S., as all of you know, in 2010. All right, let's kind of squeeze in another one here. I went off on a tangent. Paul says, hello, Ms. Kate. I have to tell you that I laugh out loud sometimes when I listen to you do We Can Count. You are so right, my dear. Our world revolves around numbers, not necessarily words anymore. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.